We are studying today Parashat Re'eh. Re'eh Anochi Noten Nefnechem Hayom Beracha Uklala. So Borei Olam says, Re'eh, perceive, see. Anochi Noten Nefnechem Hayom, I'm giving to you today, Beracha Uklala. I'm presenting to you a blessing, and lo aleinu, there's also a curse. Et a beracha. The beracha, asher tishmi'u el mitzvot Hashem Elohechem, asher anuchim misavetchem ayom. The beracha, that you will listen to the mitzvot that I command to you today. Vakelala, the curse will be, im lo tishmi'u. אין מצוות השם אלוהיכם וסרתם מן הדרך. The question that we had originally when we looked at these pesukim, I understand the kelala part. The kelala will come אם לא תשמעו. If you don't observe, so then God forbid there's a punishment. Like it says in קריאת שמע, שאמרו לכם, פן יפתן לבבכם, וסרתם ועבדתם אלוהים אחרים, ושתעבדתם להם, וחרף השם בכם, ועשמת שם אלוהים מתת. It's clear that the curses come on to the person אם לא תשמעו. והכללה אם לא תשמעו. So that means that the ברכה comes what? אם תשמעו. It's a very simple equation. That if the people keep the mitzvot, and they're observant, and they keep the Torah, and they're religious, so the ברכה comes. But the pasuk doesn't say that. The pasuk doesn't say et beracha im tishmi'u. It says et beracha asher tishmi'u. That you will keep. What do you mean that you will keep? But it should say the beracha comes because you shall keep. If you shall keep. Listen, it should be consistent. Ve'kelala im lo tishmi'u ve'beracha im tishmi'u. But it doesn't say that. It says beracha asher tishmi'u. That you will keep. So the explanation that we said in order to interpret these is based on Harambam. Harambam is in the laws of Teshuvah. At the end of the laws of Teshuvah, Harambam asks a very strong question, very fundamental question, and he presents us with his answer. The question that he has is a rule. Schar behai al maleka. The reward for mitzvot is not in this world. The reward for the mitzvot is in the next world. This is called olam asiyah, the world of deeds. And the next world is called Olam Gimul. That's the world of Gimul. That's the world of payment. That's where we get our remuneration for the mitzvot. Schar behay al maleka. It doesn't exist. So then he asks, Harambam, so how is it then when the Torah says, if you keep the mitzvot, there's not going to be war. And there's going to be rain in the proper time. And there's going to be peace. And there's going to be beracha in the field. And there's going to uberach, pri betnecha, pri admatecha, deganecha, teroshecha, v'yisarecha, shechar alafecha, v'asherotzonecha. I thought you told me there's no reward in this world. And then the Torah tells us 100 times, if you keep the mitzvot, baruch pri betnecha, pri admatecha, and so on and so forth. יסב אדוני את הברכה, באסמך, בכל משלח ידיך, ברכך בארץ, אשר לא נתו דנך, יפתח השם לך תוצרו הטוב. All these things are blessings in this world. So the Rambam creates a tremendous head-on collision between two facts. There's no reward in this world, but the Torah says there is. These two statements, they collide with each other. Unless Rambam has to be like a traffic cop to say, oh, redirect them so they don't smash into each other. So what he does is, in a great genius, Harambam comes along and sets down a principle, and he sets down a yesod, which is one of the foundations of schar va'onish, reward and punishment. And he says like this. Reward for the mitzvot in the next world. You can't get the reward in this world. For the simple reason, there's nothing in this world that's valuable enough to pay you back even for the smallest mitzvah. The Chafetz Chaim gave him mashal. Somebody came to him once, there was a famine in Poland. So somebody came along and said, Rabbi, I'm willing to give up this morning's mitzvah of tefillin that I fulfilled, cash it in, and God will take away the famine. So the Chafetz Chaim says, no, you can't do it. So the guy thought, because maybe it's not valuable enough. So he said, I'll give up 2 days of tefillin to cash it in. He said, no, you don't understand it. He said, I'll give you a mashal. He says, if a guy goes into a kid, goes into a 1 cent, 2 cent store, and he wants to buy a candy for 5 cents. So he puts the peppermint patty. Remember they had those little peppermint patty, or Jolly Ranchers. The little candy like this for 5 cents, or Charleston Chew. They used to have a small little candy called Charleston Chew. And he takes the, remember that, Morris? He takes the candy. I'm not discussing it. Gabe, don't say the rabbi said it's kosher. I'm not discussing the kashrut. I'm giving an example. Don't say the rabbi said it's kosher. He gave that example. I'm just giving an example. Those are the 5 cent items in the store.
I got it. 40 years ago.
So 40 years ago. So 40 years ago, everything was kosher. 40 years ago, the guys used to go, the kids used to go to the casino. And they used to buy the fun dip. The fun dip. Who knows what's in it? It's six colors of garbage. And then it has a stick. So for some reason, the religious people didn't eat the stick. The stick's not kosher. Okay, how do you know that the taref is in the stick? Maybe the taref is in the... No, it's the stick. Okay, you went to the factory. Because one of the ingredients is pig fat. So for some reason, the religious people decided that the pig fat is in the stick. So never don't eat the stick, so you'd eat it with your fingers. And the guys who weren't religious, they don't care about pig fat. We eat it. We don't care about it. This was the community 30 years ago. For some reason, the rumor went out, the stick is not kosher. Okay, this is the community. It's funny people.
Look how far.
And those are the same guys that brought their own cheese to Vicks. Those are the religious guys. They stood in the thing. That was the black cats of then. And the guy would stand in the lobby of Vicks with a bag of cheese in his thing. Forget it. This is like, you know, what are you doing? They're taking over the community, these people. These people are taking over the community. The cheese guys, they keep bringing the cheese. What are you bringing the cheese for? There's a different standard of religiosity. Anyway, the Chafetz Chaim gives him mashal. So he says, so the kid puts the 5 cent thing on the table, and he gives the clerk $100 bill. So the clerk says, we don't make change for 5 cents. You're not going to break $100 bill now to give you the change? So what does he do? He tells the kid, Ella, take it. Take the candy, 5 cents, I'll take it. You're not going to make change of $100. So he says, the famine in relation to 1 day of tefillin, it's like you're trying to break $100 bill for a 5 cent candy. God's not going to do it. And therefore, instead, God will give it to you, they'll take it away for nothing. That means the reward of 1 day's tefillin to take away the entire famine in Poland is nothing. It's a 5 cent. It's not worth to break the mitzvah for such a small dividend. So, Schar by Al-Malika means there's nothing in this world that's valuable enough to really pay the person. Even if you would get all the diamonds and the jewels and all that, that's still nowhere near the true compensation that a person can get for a mitzvah. Aye, but it says in the Torah that there's compensation. So Rambam writes that if a person shows God that he's making an effort to do the mitzvot, so God will clear away his life to make things suitable and easy so he could fulfill more mitzvot. And part of that is, a person cannot serve God if he's worrying about parnasah. A person cannot serve God if he's worrying about children, if he's worrying about health, and he's worrying about war, and all these other things. In a time of stress, The person cannot have kavanah in his prayers. He cannot open up a book and learn. So therefore God says, if you show commitment to the mitzvot, I will make it easy for you to fulfill more mitzvot. That's the reward in this world. Not the reward for the mitzvah. Schar mitzvah, mitzvah. The reward for the mitzvah in this world is... No, the next mitzvah. The next mitzvah. The Borei Olam will alleviate all the problems. So now a person all of a sudden, he feels great. Baruch Hashem's business is, he can tend to his business. He's able to take off on a Sunday. He's able to take off on a Shabbat and the Hagin properly. And he's able to have Baruch Hashem's children not giving him troubles. And there's relative security in the country that he's living in. So he's able to have freedom of religion. So Borei Olam does that as a reward to the person. And the government's not on his back. So therefore he doesn't have to worry about the audits, God forbid, and all these type of things that make a person where he can't sleep at night and he goes crazy from all this type of stuff. And the rabbi said, how come not in the shiur? Don't do me a favor. I'm dealing with a million and one troubles and headaches, stuff like that. So this is what the pasuk is coming to say, the way I'm understanding it now. The pasuk is saying, Re'a anokhi notem b'fnechem hayom beracha uklala. Behold, I'm putting in front of you the berachot and the kelalot. This is not talking about the berachot and the kelalot of Olam Abba. Because the pasuk is saying, "Anu chinu tinnat zechem hayom." He's saying, "Hayom, I'm giving it to you now." Olam Abba, the Torah doesn't talk about. Olam Abba, that's nobody can explain what that's Olam Abba is. Ainu ra'ata lulatecha. So the pasuk says, "Et the beracha." You know what the beracha in this world is? Asher tishmi'u el mitzvot Hashem. That you'll have the ability to fulfill the mitzvot. That God will give you the wherewithal where you're able to keep the mitzvot b'yishuv ha'da'at. Asher anokhi mesaveh etchem again. Hayom. Borei Olam repeats that again. Harambam writes, but if a person is delinquent and a person is not interested, he doesn't keep the mitzvot, so then the punishment that God's going to give him, that's also in the next world. But one of the punishments that he gets in this world is that God now is going to make it difficult for the person to fulfill the mitzvah even if he wants to. Because of his delinquency, so now Borei Olam puts all different troubles on him. And that's the kelala. V'akelala, im lo tishmi'u al mitzvot Hashem Eloheichem. But it's not im lo tishmi'u. Because the Hatam Sofer explains that there's a difference. That when a person gets the reward in this world for the mitzvot, it doesn't take away from his reward in the next world. That means, when a person fulfills mitzvot, God's going to make his life easy. God doesn't take from that easy life away from Olam Haba. That's the reward in this world that's on God. However, Hatam Sofer writes that the kelalot, that if a person doesn't fulfill the mitzvot and he gets troubles in this world, that will take away from the gehinam of the next world. So it's a win-win. Which means you get the reward in this world not against our account in Olam Abba, and it doesn't deduct. And the kelalot that we get in this world, chas v'shalom, they do deduct from the gehinam. So that's what the pasuk says. Et the beracha in this world, asher tishme'u em mitzvot Hashem. If you're not going to fulfill the mitzvot, then there'll be a kelala in this world. But the kelala, as I said, will be there's a silver lining in it. That's simple interpretation of these pesukim. Et haberacha asher tishmeu, the ability to do more mitzvot. That's the biggest beracha that a person can get. But the thing that bothered us in this pesukim, which we came to say this morning, what bothered us this morning in these pesukim, Re'e Anochi, the word Anochi, God says it twice here. Re'e Anochi noten nefnechem hayom. I am giving you the law today. Et haberacha tishmu'u mitzvot Hashem Elokeichem asher anochi mesaveh etchem hayom. Twice it says the words anochi and hayom. So we want to explain a big hadush over here. We know that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Am Yisrael on Har Sinai, shortly thereafter that, we committed a big Avera. 40 days later, we were worshipping the Egel. God said, Anuchi Hashem Elohecha. That was the first of the Ten Commandments. And shortly after Anuchi Hashem Elohecha, the Jewish people said, El Elohecha Yisrael. It's almost as if they undid the Anuchi Hashem Elohecha. By saying, El Elohecha, there's no Anuchi Hashem Elohecha. And that commandment they heard from God Himself. And still, they reached such a level that they were able to transgress the Anuchi Hashem Elohecha by saying, El Elohecha Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu had to go up. As a result, Am Yisrael was hemorrhaging. I mean, Borei Olam already said, that's it. Ani Ali, leave me alone. Vachale Otam Keraga. And I will decimate them in a split second. And Moshe Rabbeinu had to go up for 40 days or 40 nights just to stop the bleeding. And then he went up for additional 40 days. And the additional 40 days that he went up starts on Rosh Chodesh Elul, which is the month that we're now going to announce, the Shabbat, Shiavo Alinu Letova, Chodesh Elul Rachamim, which is Tuesday and Wednesday, Rosh Chodesh. And that commemorates when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the mountain, and then he went up to God, and he pleaded with Borei Olam for 40 days and 40 nights. And after he pleaded for 40 days and 40 nights, so Borei Olam tells him, okay, Salah, I forgive you. And we received the second version of the Luchot. Most people don't realize that the Luchot that we keep came down on Yom Kippur after Moshe Rabbeinu's plea of 40 days and 40 nights. What is he saying exactly?
Don't we keep both, the broken and the Yom
Kippur? But we're not talking about the broken one now. We're talking about... No. You mentioned the broken. I didn't say anything about the broken. You said the broken and you say no. Make up your mind. You want to talk about the broken? You don't want to talk about the broken. No, again. Okay. The explanation is like this. That something happened in Elul where Borei Olam introduced a tremendous concept to the world, and that's the concept of that there's teshuvah, but there's teshuvah and a collective teshuvah. Even with the worst and the most grave averot, that it's possible that Borei Olam, he could forgive. The Gemara actually says that the Jewish people were not worthy of the sin of the Egel. The Gemara says it was beneath them. Sometimes when you see a great person commit a sin, you say to yourself, it's not suitable for such a person to commit such a sin. Such a great person to do such an avera, it makes no sense. Must be he was senile. Must be he lost his brains temporarily. Must be there was something I don't know about the story. Must be he was under duress. The Gemara says the same thing. The Dor HaMidbar, which is Dor De'ah, it wasn't on their status for them to commit such a sin. So the Gemara says, so why did they commit it then? So the Gemara says, it's almost as if Borei Olam brought a super Yetzirah to them in order to teach Am Yisrael that there's Teshuvah. That if somebody will come along in the future and say, I committed such a big avera, there's no way I can make my way back. Borei Olam will say, go look at the story of the Egel. Lo avdu Yisrael et ha'egel, ela lelamed teshuvah. Only to teach the inyan of teshuvah. And it's a chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So nobody should say that, I ruined so much that whatever I did is not fixable. It's not so. that even the biggest avera, it's possible that a person is able to make a tikkun. That's the Gemara says. Oh, as a matter of fact, if you look in the haftarah that we read last week, these are the haftarot of the Nehama. The haftarah in Ekev, Vatomer Sion, Azavani Adonai, Vadonai Shekihani. Sion says to God, you left me. And God has forgotten me. The Jewish people at the times of the destruction, they felt abandoned. They felt that God, you know, went away from them. So what does God answer back? Hatishkach isha ula mirachem ben bitna. Does a mother forget her child? Not only her child, does a mother forget her infant, her newborn? So God says, gam ele tishkachna v'anochi lo eshkachech. A mother will forget her child before I forget you. Gam ele tishkachna. Even if a mother will forget her child and abandon the child, v'anochi lo eshkachech, but I will never forget you. That's what God's answer is to the question. But the Gemara says a deeper interpretation. God says, what are you talking about? Forget you? How can I forget you? Atishkach isha ula mirachem ben bitna. I will never forget my nation. So God says, oh, to the Jewish people say, you don't forget? Means God says, no, I'm not going to forget. I'm going to always remember you. So the people said, forget it. If God's not going to forget, maybe you're going to remember our avirot. If your memory is so good that you say you're not going to forget, maybe you're going to still remember the sin of the Egel. So what does God answer back? Gam ele tishkachna. What's ele? Ele Elohecha Yisrael. God says, don't worry. Gam ele tishkachna. I'll forget about ele Elohecha Yisrael. So then the Jewish people come back. Well, if you're going to get about Ele Elohech Yisrael, you might forget that we accepted the Ten Commandments. So God says, no, the Anuchi, lo ishkachech. The Anuchi Hashem Elohecha that you accepted, lo ishkachech. That's the Gemara's interpretation of this pasuk. But it's difficult. What does it mean? They say you're going to forget the Egel, you remember the Anuchi. The depth of these pesukim, we're going to say a hadush now, is as follows. The Jewish people were going to say, listen, Borei Olam, we committed averot. We committed a lot of sins. Gam ele tishkachna. Maybe you're not going to forget the sin of the Egel, which means maybe that sin is going to haunt us. Because you say you don't forget. You said, does a mother forget his infant? Does a mother forget his baby? So God, the people got scared. They said, if God doesn't forget, that means our averot are in front of him constantly. So God says, don't worry. Gam ele tishkan, I can forget your sins. And you know what the proof that God can forget our sins? Because he gave us the second nuchot. If God didn't give us the second nuchot, then you have to be worried. But the fact that he gave us the second nuchot, that shows us what? That he forgave us for the... Now, the first nuchot was what? Anuchi Hashem Elohecha. Correct? The second nuchot, how did they start? Also Anuchi Hashem Elohecha. That means the second nuchot have the second Anuchi. If you want to say a second Anuchi, how would you say that? Well, Anuchi is one. Now, how would you say two Anuchis? Remember we learned when Yaakov Abinu was receiving the blessing from his father. So it says in the Pasuk that Yaakov went to Yitzhak, and Yitzhak tells him, V'yiten necha Elohim. V'yiten. So the rabbis will ask, you don't start a Pasuk with a Vav. You don't start a pasuk with and. It should say yiten becha. So we said v'yiten, that she says yiten v'yachzor v'yiten, which means he should give, and it should be a perpetual giving. He should give you and he should give you again. Yiten v'yachzor v'yiten. V'yiten necha. Oh. So based on that, listen to what the pasuk is saying. The Jewish people tell Borei Olam, Gam ele, maybe you're not going to forget the het of the egel. God says, don't worry. Gam ele tishkachna. I'll forget the ele elech Yisrael. You know, and you know what the proof is that I forgot it? Ve anochi lo ishkachech. Ve anochi is the second anochi, not the first anochi. Anochi is luchot nishonot. However, the ve anochi, the vav, the second anochi. God, why did it say ve anochi? God just say, I'm maybe going to forget anochi. No, anochi lo ishkachech. No, ve anochi lo ishkachech. The second anochi, which is the luchot sheniyot, I'm not going to forget. So here you see what that the second luchot is our salvation. That's our claim to fame. Without the second law, without the ve anochi, we don't have a chance. With this, the mefarshim explain a gemara in Rosh Hashanah. There's a Gemara Rosh Hashanah on Daf Yud, on Ted Zayin, Amud Bet. The Gemara over here is talking about the blowing of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, we blow the shofar a few times, standing, sitting, all sorts of blowing of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara wants to know, what is all this different versions of blowing shofar Rosh Hashanah? So what does the Gemara say? Keder la'arbev et ha-satan. What does that mean? To confuse the satan. Somehow when he hears the shofar, the satan, he gets all disheveled. He gets all disoriented. La'arbev et ha-satan. He gets all gazed up. And instead of prosecuting, God says to the Satan, hey, you have anything to say? He's too nervous from the shofar that he loses his tongue for a couple of minutes there. And God says, okay, well, if the prosecutor doesn't have anything to say, so we give them good judgment. So the shofar is a very important moment that the Satan loses his claim. So look what Tosafot says. Tosafot says, Kedeita b'Yerushalmi. Like it says in Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi gives us some details of this process. Kachama kal shipura. When the Satan hears the call of the shofar, zimnachada, the first time, bahil velo bahil. He's nervous, but not so nervous. Bahil velo bahil. He gets a little confused, but he still has his equilibrium. He doesn't fall off his chair yet. The first shofar is Bahil Velo Bahil. However, Kachamat Tinyan, when he is the second blowing, Amar Vadai, this is it, Shipura, Mashiach's coming, and he gets nervous and he runs away. What is the depth of this Tosafot? That the first shofar, Bahil Velo Bahil, doesn't bother him so much. The second shofar, the Satan gets nervous. The Satan says, that's it, it's over. What's the explanation? Rav Sa'adia Gaon, he has a perush. He asks, why do we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah? And he says 10 reasons. He lists 10 reasons why we blow shofar. One of the reasons he says that we blow the shofar is to remember the shofar of Matan Torah. You remember when we received the Torah, it says, Vekol shofar, olech v'chazek, Moshe yedaber v'ailim ya'anennu bekol. The shofar was blowing at the time of the Matan Torah. So what happens? How many Matan Torahs were there? There was two Matan Torahs. One before the sin, and one after the sin. When we blow the shofar the first time, that's keneged the first luchot. And therefore the Satan says, I'm not nervous because they're going to make averot. They made averot after the first luchot. After the first Nuhot, after they said Na'aseh v'nishma, what ended up happening? El Elohech Yisrael. So the first shofar only represents Matan Torah Kodem Achet. And therefore the Satan doesn't get so nervous because he can come along and say, well, it's a difference, they accepted the Torah. They accepted the Torah, they're going to make Averot. But when he hears the second shofar already represents the second Nuhot. That already is the Nuhot after the sin. That's already the Nuhot that are given after the Avera, which already tells the Satan, God, no hope for him. That God forgives the people. The second shofar is already Nuhot Shiniyot. And therefore, when it comes to Nuhot Shiniyot, the Satan says, oh, I didn't think God was going to forgive them for that Avon. And once God forgives them for the Chet Ha'egel, God said to the Satan, I'm out of business. God's going to forgive them for all the Averot. Even though last year they said Na'aseh v'nishma, it's okay. It's not worse than the Egel, but they did. And God forgives them. So you see, the second shofar is what really makes the Satan. That's the second shofar of Matan Torah. If that's the case, we could go back to Al Pesukim. Borei Olam is saying to Bnei Yisrael, the biggest beracha that we have in our religion is that you have to believe that you're able. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm explaining the Hadushim. I'm going to let you go. I have to go now. The Pasuk is teaching over here. The Pasuk is teaching over here a lesson. The biggest beracha that a person could have is to know that he could start his life again today. He doesn't have to worry about what he did yesterday. If a person always is living in the past and he thinks that the past can never be deleted, so he can never go forward, that's the biggest curse of a person, that he lets his past performance of Averot slow him down and not be able to move forward. If a person wants to recover from an addiction, he has to say, you know what? I start today. But for the past 20 years, leave the past 20 years. For the 20 years, it's only going to slow you down. It's only going to drag you back into the mud. You have to say, from today, I'm going to start to become a new person. Our religion allows that. Not only allows that. Our religion promotes that. The Torah is given today, not yesterday. Asher anuchi mesavecha hayom. But what about yesterday? I didn't do the mitzvot. We didn't give the Torah yesterday. The Torah is given now. Accept upon yourself hayom. And this is what the pasuk is telling us over here. Re'eh anuchi noten lifnechem hayom. And this concept of hayom, of today, beracha uklala, if the person uses it for the right interpretation, it can bring him to beracha, which means he can go forward. He's able to forget about his averot. But if a person doesn't use this hayom for the right interpretation, then already can bring him to a kelala. But look what the pasuk says: Et beracha asher tishmeu el mitzvot Hashem Elohechem asher anochi mesaveh etchem hayom. You see, the pasuk says over here anochi twice. What is the Torah hinting to us by saying Anochi twice in the first two parashiyot? It's coming to tell you, and the proof that you could start Hayom is Anochi, Anochi, is the fact that there were two Anochis. The fact that there was an Anochi before the sin, and the fact that there was an Anochi after the sin, that shows you that you could commit an avon, and you could accept upon yourself a new derech, and Borei Olam will forgive you. And therefore the pasuk is hinting to us in the two main words of the opening of our parasha. The first main word is the hayom, hayom. That's why it's written twice. It's the only word that's written twice. I'm giving you the item of hayom. Et ha-beracha, you know what the beracha is? That you should realize, asher anuchi mesaveh etchem hayom. And you know what the kelala is? Im lo tishme'u el mitzvot Hashem asher anuchi mesaveh etchem hayom. If you don't fulfill the item of hayom, That means if you believe that you can't start over. If you believe that it's too late, then already it'll lead you to the worst of it all. And therefore, that's where the barakha and that's where the kelah is hinged on. If you believe in the hayom concept or not, and God says, and if you want a proof that it works, anuchi, anuchi. Ve'anuchi lo ishkachech. I'll never forget the second anuchi. Because it's the second anuchi that gives you, and that's where the satan gets all nervous. Now from the first shofar. When the first shofar, bahil ve'lo bahil. He's nervous, but he's okay, but then he's angry after that. But when he hears the second sound of the shofar, then the ranger of satan says, that's it. I stand on Jacob's God already forgives Am Yisrael for the averot. This is a very important introduction to the month of Elul that now we're about to announce. We always say that when we get to the parasha of Re'ez Rashi Tevot Re'ez Elul Higia Re'ez Elul Higia Rashi Tevot Re'ez always works out that way. Whenever the air comes, you know already we have the month of Elul ahead of us. The pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Ani Ledodi Vedodi Li. And the rabbis say that that's Rashi Tevot Elul. And they say that if you take the last letters of Ani Ledodi Vedodi Li, it's Yod, 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 which equals 40, which represents the 40 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom Kippurim, which is the 40 days when Moshe Rabbeinu went up and got atonement for Chet Ha'egel. So everybody has their own version of Chet Ha'egel in their roster of Averot. And you have to know that somehow this month over here has a tremendous koach to be mechaper, because if Moshe Rabbeinu already did it once, that means it's in these days built in mercy to mechaper for the biggest of the Averot. So there's another pasuk in Tehil in Shir HaShirim. Dodi li v'ani lo. One says ani le dodi v'dodi li. I am for my beloved one, and my beloved one is for me. And then another pasuk says dodi li, my beloved one is for me. V'ani lo. What is the difference between these two pesukim? There's a big difference in the way a person comes close to God. Sometimes a person comes close to God self-motivated. He says to himself, you know what, enough already. I have to straighten up my life. And he gives himself a pep talk. And he starts to mehazek himself. And he starts to come to the shi'urim. So he makes the first step. The person makes the first step. God says, you make the first step, I continue. Like it says in the Gemara, Habale Taher, Misa'in Oto. If a person comes to purify himself, God helps him. God says, Petroli Petach Ki Petroshel Maha. Open for me the eye of a needle, a little petach. Bani Iftach Lachem Ki Petroshel Ulam. And I'll open to you up the opening of a hole. So you see that what? You see that sometimes people are self-motivated. That's called, it's aruta dil tata. That a person has a motivation from within. And that motivates it's aruta dil ayla. That motivates God to respond. However, there's some people that they need a push. They don't know how to motivate themselves. They don't know how to inspire themselves. So they need a push from God. And sometimes God pushes them. How does God push them? God has to wake the guy up. Well, that's right. Yesurin. All of a sudden, the guy gets hit. All the guys, oh my gosh, what's going on over here? Everything was going good over there. He forgot God. So Borei Olam said, listen, if this guy doesn't wake up, he's going to be in big trouble. So Borei Olam gives him a hit. All of a sudden, something happens to him. Now he gets nervous. Well, the next day, he's in Bet Kanesh. What happened to you? I need Tehillim. I need to pray. Rabbi, I want to give tzedakah. What happened to you? You got motivated? What motivated? Borei Olam hit me on the head. I got scared. Oh, so these are the two pesukim that Shlomo HaMelech is talking about. One pesuk is saying, Ani ledodi. That means I made the first step. And then vedodi li. And then Borei Olam reacts to my self-motivated move. But sometimes pesuk says, Dodi Li. Sometimes God says the guy's not doing anything. So Dodi Li Borei Olam has to step in. Dodi Li. And then Va'ani Lo. That represents the two different directions that a person goes. Who's making the first move over here? One pasuk says, Hashiveni, Hashivenu Adonai Elecha Veneshuva. That means, God, you return us. You make the first step. Veneshuva. Because sometimes the person's heart is so cold, Albo Barid. His heart is so cold, he can't come back to God. So we have to tell God, Hashem, you have to bring me back. I cannot come back. Hashivenu Hashem Elecha Veneshuva. But Borei Olam says to the tzaddikim, Shuva Elai. Shuva Elai Vashuva Alechem. You make the first step. So it's two different types of Jews. Shuva Elai, you make the first step. But when the Jew makes the first step, it's always much more comfortable that way. Because he's doing it on his terms, on good health, without, you know, out of fear. He's doing it willingly. That's why the pasuk says, "Ani ledodi," third pasuk in Shir Hashirim, "Ve'alai teshukato." "Ve'alai teshukato" is, and on me is a great lust, a great joy. Teshuka is a great anticipation, because when you do it on your own, "Ve'alai teshukato," it's me'ahava, it's not me'yirah. "Ve'alai teshukato," but when it has to be motivated from Borei Olam, that's a problem. David HaMelech talked about this concept in his Tehillim. David HaMelech said, Ashrei Maskil Eldal. Fortunate is the one that's Maskil Eldal. Literally it means that he gives charity to the poor person. Maskil, but he understands the plight of the Ani. He understands what the Ani is going through. Maskil Eldal. Not only just gives the money to the Ani, Maskili, he can empathize what the Ani is going through. And then it says, if a person could do that, Beyom Ra'a Yimaleteu Hashem. When Elam saves him from the troubles. But the Mefarshim say like this, if you take the words Eldal, Eldal is Rashi Tevot, Ani Ledodi, Dodi Li. El Dal. Ani le Dodi, Dodi Li. David HaMelech says, Ashre Maskil El Dal. That you make the first move. Ani le Dodi. And then Dodi Li. El Dal. Because if you do it that way, Yom Ra'ah Yimaleteu Hashem, God doesn't have to bring you Yom Ra'ah. God doesn't have to bring you the Tzarot. Because you made the first step. The tzarot only come when the guy's delinquent, when the guy's delaying, when the guy doesn't come, just get hit on the head. But if he comes on time, so therefore, on the contrary, so maskil eldal. But what do we say in the siddihot? We say in the siddihot, kedalim ukrashim nafaknu telatecha. We came to you, Borei Olam, like a dal. Kedalim ukrashim, like a dal, we came knocking on your door. What does it mean, Dal? Dal is Rashi Tevot, Dodi Li. Borei Olam, we're delinquent. That we weren't able to motivate ourselves to come to you willingly. We came to you like a Dal. We only knocked on your door when we had troubles. The Dal only knocks on the door when he's in trouble. And therefore we come to him and say, Borei Olam, we're embarrassed. Kedalim ukhrashim. We didn't come El Dal. El Dal is good. We came as just a Dal. And that's why this parasha always will arrive at this moment in order to remind us that there is a concept of the Teshuvah, that the second Luchot is the proof, Anochi lo eshkachech, Anochi, 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 twice. And the key is, Noten lefnechem hayom. Judaism begins today. And therefore, do not worry about your past. Do not, all that you can delete. And today we understand that. Today there's delete buttons. Today a person, his computer can have all the information on it, and he puts a button, and all of a sudden everything that he had on the computer is gone. That's a mashal to teshuvah. That everything is able to be erased to teshuvah, and you're just supposed to go forward. However, the Yetzer Hara, and I'll conclude with this, the Yetzer Hara, he wants to tell you, you're right. You can get rid of the pest. But get rid of the pest tomorrow. Which means, he says, yeah, well, I believe in teshuvah. He asks me, you believe in teshuvah? So how come you're not making teshuvah? I'll make it tomorrow. What about it? I'll have to make it today. I have time. Guy's a young guy. Everything's good. I'll make teshuvah. Worry about it now. I'm enjoying myself a little. But yeah, I believe it. Once I'm ready, Rabbi, that's it. I'm not nervous about my past because I know I can make a proper teshuvah on it. But tomorrow, the problem is, nobody can guarantee few things that tomorrow will ever come. That's the reality, unfortunately. And nobody can guarantee that tomorrow he's not going to say, no, tomorrow again. Maybe he'll just go till the end and keep on saying, tomorrow. And therefore a person has to not only believe in the concept of Hayom, but not to fall into the delay of tomorrow. We once explained, based on the Darshanim, if you remember, we said that Amalek represents the Yetzer Hara. As we know, the Yetzer Hara is any villain in our Torah is the Yetzer Hara. So the Torah comes and tells at the end of Beshalach, go fight Amalek. So it says, Vayomer Moshe el Yoshua, Bechad lanu anashim, Vetze lahem ba'amalek, and go fight against Amalek, Machar Anuchi. So the Mefarshim explained it, that what's the fight against Amalek? Machar. Seh lachem ba'amalek. The fight against Amalek is what? Machar. And what Machar? Machar Anuchi. Machar Anuchi. Machar I'll accept Luchot Sheniyot, the Teshuvah and all that. Machar Anuchi. Says, no, that's not. Al Rosh HaGibah. What's Rosh HaGibah? That's Har Sinai. Rosh HaGibah. Machar Anuchi al Rosh HaGibah. Tomorrow I'll sign up to the concept of Anuchi al Rosh HaGibah, which is referring to the second the Anuchi. However, it says do not fall into that. That's what Amalek tries to put into you. He tries to say, don't do it now, do it tomorrow. And that's what the pasuk says. Ve'e Anuchi noten lifnechem. Hayom, the beracha is in Hayom, and the kelala is in Machar. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen.